Welcome. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from various sources. I'm going to start with a really short article here because it's the last one in this group that has to do with stop paying for storage. And there's only one left that I didn't get to last time, so I'm going to do it now. Find China. That's a hard one for people. Everyone's got it when they got married, but nobody uses it. See if anyone wants it and pass it along. It doesn't have to have value. You can go anywhere and buy a set of china inexpensively. If it has sentimental value, keep a couple of plates and bowls and put them with your regular dishes. Use it or lose it. I also have a little shorty here. Ask the tech guru. I love snapping pictures of my family, but they're not always wild about how they look. Someone will snatch my phone and delete the pics. Are they lost forever? AARP tech writer Edward C. Begg reports. Hey, everyone's a critic, but good news. You have about a month to recover deleted pictures. On the iPhone, open the Photos app and scroll to Utilities. Then tap Recently Deleted and log in. Then tap View Album. Tap on the photo you want and tap Recover at the bottom right, followed by Recover Photo. The image lands back in your photos library. On Android, go to Google Photos, then tap Collections at the bottom and Trash at the upper right. Tap the images you want, then Restore. Restored photos return to their Google Photos album. Now we know. Now from AARP The Bulletin, let's look at a Q&A with Rick Stevens. The mark of good travel is to experience cultural shock. Travel guru Rick Stevens, 69, describes how he first stepped outside his comfort zone and how we can exit ours. You had a pretty wild trip back in 1978. Now you've turned your journal from that adventure into a book, On the Hippie Trail. Why now? Back then, when I was in my early 20s, I was a piano teacher, not a professional travel writer. I wanted to document the trip just for myself. Then, when I looked at it a few years ago, I thought, this could be a fun, historic, inspirational adventure tale for readers and travelers. What made the trip so special? I was green. I was afraid. I was thrilled. I was out after dark. I was beyond the reach of my parents. I had no money. There was no good guidebook information back then. There was no safety net. It was truly an adventure, and it was endlessly entertaining. When you're in Kabul or Kathmandu, all you have to do is walk, and it's just a montage of memories and experiences and characters. Today, I don't leave home without having my accommodations all reserved and everything very carefully organized. But back then, we were just going behind the dark side of the moon. How did the journey lead you toward a career in travel? I just thought, this travel really has a value. I came home with a strong feeling that the world is filled with good people. It's filled with joy. It's filled with love. It's filled with diversity that we should not be afraid of, but that we should embrace and celebrate. And you won't know that until you get out there and see it for yourself. Where is your favorite place to travel? India. I love it because it rearranges my cultural furniture. It humbles me. How so? You know, to be settling down in Kashmir in a houseboat, then sitting on the rooftop of your houseboat surrounded by the Himalayan mountains and savoring a sunset, or sitting side saddle on an elephant and being so giddy about being on an elephant in a monsoon rainfall that you don't realize the elephant's coming into the concrete dock and that the thunderous, mighty, crushing beast is about to demolish your legs between his side and that concrete pier. And then I realized, hey, snap out of this. You're having too much fun. pull your legs up. That was quite an experience. Europe is inundated with tourists these days. How can we visit without being lost in the crowds? You know, I don't say don't go to Edinburgh, but I would say it's a really crowded touristy place. But Glasgow is 45 minutes away by train, and it has no crowds. It's more real. It's got amazing street art and edgy restaurants and feistiness. You can go to Glasgow rather than spend a third day in Edinburgh. We're all going to go to Lisbon. What about Porto? Or when I go to Athens, I want to see the Acropolis, but I don't go there when 90% of the tourists are there, between 10 and 4. I go there at the end of the day when it's cool, the sun is low, and everybody's leaving. What advice do you have for older travelers? I'll be 70 years old the next time I go to Europe, and the most demanding and grueling thing about travel for an older person is the heat and the crowds of summer. So shoulder season in spring and fall, and deep into shoulder season early spring and late fall, that's my favorite time to go. The days are shorter, and it's not so sunny. That's true, but you're not having the brutal heat. Europeans are fond of saying, there's no bad weather, just inappropriate clothing. I'm a big practitioner of that philosophy. Is there something you wish everyone would understand about travel? That the world is an inviting place. The world is safe. I don't know where people got this. Have a safe trip business. There's no question about it today. Statistically, traveling is safer than it was 40 years ago when people said bon voyage. I still say bon voyage. You announced your prostate cancer diagnosis last year. How are you doing? I'm looking at it like a journey. It's just a trip I didn't want to sign up for, and I don't know the language, and I don't know exactly where it's going. But I'm learning a lot, and I'm very hopeful. I had the robotic prostate surgery several months ago, and the surgery went well. It occurred to me, a lot of people are a little bit secretive or embarrassed about their cancer, but I feel a need to share it because it's really healthy for people to be able to let their loved ones and their community know what they're going through. And when you do share it, you realize, man, I'm not alone. And finally, what's next for you? We're doing a public television series on the four greatest cities in Europe, cities that each deserve a one-week vacation. Predictably, they're Paris, London, Rome, and maybe not so predictably, Istanbul. So I'll be going to Europe, as I always do this year. You know, when you get cancer, it's just a reminder of your mortality. You want to embrace every year that you've got on this planet. And this interview was by Christiana Ancito. Now let's look at a few short items under the heading of Money Saver. This is in AARP, the magazine. Your money, lost, then found. A new federal database is designed to reunite people with old 401ks and pension plans. It's only one of several sites where you can find your wayward wealth. Uncashed checks and dormant accounts. Go to missingmoney.com to search 49 states, Washington, D.C., and Puerto Rico for unclaimed property that might be due to you. Search for any of your assets in Hawaii by using the site's link to Hawaii's registry. Provided by the National Association of State Treasurers, the site catalogs assets such as uncashed checks from corporations, financial institutions, banks, insurance companies, and municipalities, along with the contents of inactive brokerage accounts and unclaimed safe deposit boxes. Pensions and 401ks. Search for lost or missing retirement funds at lostandfound.dol.gov. The U.S. Government of Labor's Department of Labor's New Retirement Savings Lost and Found database, up and running since the beginning of the year. The nonprofit Pension Rights Center at pensionrights.org can connect you with free help if you, your company, or your pension plan is located in one of the 30 states served by the U.S. Administration for Community Living's Pension Counseling and Information Program. Visit pbgc.gov/workers-retirees. On the website of the government's Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation to find unclaimed benefits from private sector plans that have closed down. Savings bonds. A treasuryhunt.gov, operated by the U.S. Department of the Treasury, you can find out if you or a loved one who has died have a U.S. savings bond or other U.S. Treasury security for which proceeds have not been paid. You can also use this to track down missing interest payments on Treasury securities. You'll need the relevant Social Security number or full name and state. Back wages. If the Department of Labor can't find you after recovering unpaid wages you're due, you have 3 years to get in touch with the DOL and request your money. To see if you're owed any back pay, visit the Workers Owed Wages site at dol.gov/agencies/WHD/WOW. And then there's orphaned bank accounts. For money left at an FDIC-insured bank that has since failed, visit closedbanks.fdic.gov/funds. Search for unclaimed deposits at the National Credit Union Administration's ncua.gov for accounts at failed credit unions. In early 2025, more than 20 failed credit unions were listed as having held people's unclaimed funds. Now we're going to go back to the magazine in Psychology Now, Taking Control of Your Mind for a Happier, Healthier Life. Last time we were talking about the impact of living life online, and there was a sidebar article connected to that that I didn't get to, so I'm going to do that for you now. It's entitled Lost for Words. Along with feeling out of practice when it came to rudimentary chatter, many of us experienced feeling at a loss for words. Experts believe that a side effect of lockdown living affected our concentration skills. So although we felt as though we had far less going on in our lives, our heads were buzzing with plenty of thoughts. For example, while our social lives and friendship circles were much smaller during the various lockdowns, the very act of living in a modern pandemic put strain on our brains. Hence, feeling as if we were grasping for words that were on the tip of our tongue. Dr. Clara Russell, a GP who has launched her own brain health supplement company, Noggin, N-O-G-G-I-N, tells us that being constantly distracted is a key factor in our inability to focus and remember day-to-day facts. Combining this with the repetitive nature of life under lockdown, without clear schedules or routines, it can make it very hard to tell one day from the next, unless, of course, it's been day. So, while our physical worlds shrunk considerably, our worries multiplied. Whether you experienced concerns over juggling working from home, spending extended periods of time staring at a screen combined with possible financial worries, or having to engage in home learning for children alongside your job, fretting about the children and teens in the family, dealing with concerns for older relatives, coping with any added relationship strains magnified by lockdown, or you were simply worried for your own health and on edge with each news alert. It meant our brains were constantly mulling over several stressful situations at once on a continuous loop. And as many of us have experienced so many balls in the air, and worries on our minds can be pretty debilitating, not to mention extremely distracting. All of these factors can also contribute to chronic stress, which can impact our short-term memory. While the greater issue of the pandemic was out of our control, there were actions we could take to improve our attention spans. Dr. Russell suggested simple mindfulness exercises, such as can remind us how to pay attention, or as can adopting a regular meditative practice. It also recommended that families played memory games together to improve verbal fluency, which could help us grab on to those elusive words. Now back to AARP the magazine. Let's look at another article under Money Saver, under investigation, your finances. Use these clues to sniff out the mysteries of your money. If a private eye were assigned to uncover the state of your financial health, how would that gumshoe proceed? Picture Sam Spade, Poirot, or Easy Rollins at a desk, powered by a steaming cup of Java, sifting through the evidence. Bank statements, credit card bills, insurance policies, each one a potential clue, each one whispering a story waiting to be heard. Sam, Poirot, Easy, or some other fictional detective would scrutinize every line item, every transaction, mulling over one question after another. Where's the money going? What's being overlooked? The truth would be in the details. And as in any great whodunit, sometimes the most revealing clues would be ones that the Shamus wasn't even looking for. Fortunately, solving the mysteries wrapped up in your finances doesn't require a private investigator, only the right mindset and the right questions. To crack the case, start here. Cash flow. Where is your money really going? Signs of shaky cash flow might be hiding in plain sight, unsolicited credit card offers, letters pitching personal loans, or a growing stack of mail you put off reading. When we ask people what their current bills are, we can hear the envelope being torn open, says Martin Lynch, president of the Financial Counseling Association of America. Even if these red flags don't apply to you, it's still wise to analyze your cash flow. To get an idea of your spending, gather your last few months of bank and credit card statements, suggests Kristen Thompson Poehler, a financial planner with Renaissance Financial in St. Louis. Next, highlight all of your income sources, including Social Security and side gigs. If you're retired, ask yourself whether you're drawing money from your savings at a sustainable pace. If you're still working, aim to allocate at least 15% of your income to savings, says Thompson Poehler. Finally, look at your free credit reports, now available weekly from each of the three major credit bureaus via annualcreditreport.com. Besides the score, 670 to 739 is generally considered good. Look at your utilization ratio, the percentage of the credit available to you that you're using. To calculate that amount, your credit cards, divide your total outstanding balances by your total credit limits and multiply by 100. For example, if you owe $5,000 on a $10,000 limit, dividing 5,000 by 10,000 gets you 0.5. Multiplying that by 100 gets you 50%. Below 20% is ideal. Insurance is a shield against life's unexpected plot twists. But are you paying too much or leaving yourself unprotected? Start with your auto and homeowners policies. You should know your premium, your deductible, and your total coverage amounts for each. Try to recall when you last compared rates. Shop around for premiums every year or two to ensure you're not overpaying, says Jeremy Zook, a financial planner in New York City. He suggests avoiding deductibles as low as $250 or $500, which rarely justify filing claims due to the potential impact on premiums. Instead, aim for deductibles of $1,000 to $2,000 for auto insurance and $5,000 for homeowners insurance, assuming you have a sufficient emergency fund in place. Also consider the financial impact of a one-way trip to the morgue. For some households, life insurance is essential to protect against lost income, said Jason Williams, a financial planner in McLean, Virginia. But if you're no longer working, the need may disappear. If your life's policy cash value is diminishing because it's subsiding, it's subsidizing your premiums, Zook recommends consulting a professional to determine whether to keep it, surrender it, or sell it to a life settlement company. Cash at the ready. Are you prepared for the unexpected? Any detective worth his salt knows you need an emergency stash, but it's not enough to have one. You need the right size and location, too. An emergency fund should cover 3 to 6 months of expenses in liquid cash, not locked away in CDs, says David McClellan, a financial planner in Chicago. 3 months is fine if you have more secure income, but for less stable incomes, aim for 6. Next, inspect where your funds are parked. There's a wide range of banks now offering yields of 4% or more, he says. If you've got $2,000 or more in emergency savings, that extra yield makes a big difference. You can unearth savings account offers on bankrate.com, depositaccounts.com, or similar sites by searching online for high-yield savings at FDIC-insured banks. Investments in income. Will your money go on the lam? The Social Security Administration estimates that if you're a 75-year-old man, your expected lifespan is 87 years. If you're a 75-year-old woman, the estimate is that you will live until you're nearly 89. But if you want your retirement kitty to stick around, you may come up short if you rely on one of those average figures. There's a 50% chance you'll outlive that number, McClellan says. Plus, advances in technology and medicine are likely to extend lifespans in dramatic ways. To avoid running out of cash, McClellan recommends that a single person plan on living to 95, unless current health or chronic conditions suggest otherwise, and that couples plan on at least one of them living to 95 in any case. For retirees, maintaining some investment in stocks is essential. Most of my retired clients have portfolios with 50 to 60% in diversified stock mutual funds or exchange-traded funds, McClellan adds. This allocation provides a high enough expected return to stay ahead of inflation, helping them maintain or even grow their purchasing power. Are you puzzled about how to invest? The solution can be deceptively simple. Zook recommends starting out with 3 core funds, a U.S. stock index fund, an international stock index fund, and a bond fund. He also advises reviewing fund investment fees on Morningstar.com, aiming for those with annual fees below 0.2%. Estate planning. Is your will as sharp as your instincts? A final clue that your finances are healthy is an up-to-date estate plan. If you haven't reviewed it in the last 3 to 5 years, Williams said, you run the risk of leaving your heirs with a mess. At minimum, you need a will, powers of attorney, and a living will, says Zook. Make sure that people close to you know about these documents and understand your wishes. Options for creating a plan include online services like Free Will, LegalZoom, and Trust and Will, costing up to a few $100s, and group legal plans through Work. For a more tailored approach, appropriate if your finances or family relationships are complicated, hiring a local estate attorney will likely cost a few $1,000s. Finally, double-check account titles and beneficiary forms to ensure they align with your intentions. For example, if you want certain assets to pass to your spouse, consider holding the relevant accounts jointly. Frank Privati, a CPA who is certified in financial forensics, advises maintaining a comprehensive list of who has access to your accounts, a critical document for heirs. Some people grant online access to their accountants or tax preparers. You need to monitor that list like you would your beneficiary forms. In sum, the clues to your financial health are right under your nose. All you need to do is examine them closely, and as Poirot has said, use your little gray cells. Now, we have just a few minutes left, so in AARP, the bulletin, there's a section, New Help with Retirement. AARP expands programs to make planning and living your post-work life easier. AARP has long focused on the needs of people who are saving and planning for their retirements or are making financial adjustments in the years after they have stopped full-time work. Over the years, we've developed several programs that can help. In 2025, we'll expand that effort with some new initiatives and by tweaking some of our existing programs to make planning for and managing your retirement easier than ever. Here's a look at some of what AARP has planned. AARP is enhancing its retirement calculator. The changes will help people track income sources in their retirement portfolio, including savings, investments, and Social Security. Input some of your personal data to find out how much work you have to do to retire comfortably or how to keep your retirement on track. You can find the calculator at aarp.org/retirement calculator. Keep a lookout for a revamped Social Security Resource Center. It should be online now. The revised site will help consumers navigate the oft-complicated world of Social Security by giving them access to information that is most relevant and providing updated content to help them understand their retirement benefits. In addition, new tools and resources will help people plan and manage their retirement finances by providing insight into their expected Social Security benefits. Find this resource center at aarp.org/Social Security. There's also help with navigating minimizing retirement income. You can find that help at navigator.aarp.org. And the AARP Cash Hack Challenge at aarp.org/cash hacks. Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I do hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.